In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The readings last Sunday were about the importance of prayer, and especially the need to pray constantly. Today's readings also deal with the theme of prayer. They are concerned with how we pray and the content of our prayers. In that lovely first reading from the book of Sirach, we hear that the Lord is a God of justice who knows no favorites. In some parts of the church today, we hear a lot about liberation theology and the preferential option for the poor. But Sirach tells us that God does not unduly favor the poor. He does, however, hear the cries of those who are oppressed, such as widows and orphans. And moreover, he hears the prayers of the one who serves God willingly, and the prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. So it is not simply the poor and the oppressed who are close to God, but all who seek to do God's will, and those who live in humility and poverty of spirit. As the responsorial psalm tells us, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and those who are crushed in spirit he saves. Certainly in the gospel we have a vivid illustration of two opposite approaches to prayer. The Pharisee is smug and self-satisfied. He performs all his outward religious duties, but his heart is cold and contemptuous. The tax collector, on the other hand, is a member of a despised class. Of course, no one likes to pay taxes. And moreover, he was in the service of a foreign power, the Roman Empire. And so he stood off at a distance and would not raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." This is the classical expression of Judeo-Christian spirituality. Thus the psalmist says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy steadfast love. According to thy abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." And thus we hear in the liturgy of the Mass the threefold repetition, "Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy." The tax collector, then, is the one who goes home justified, reconciled to God and man, because he is humble and brokenhearted. It is an interesting phenomenon in the history of spirituality that the saints are always deeply conscious of their sins, and the greatest saints are those most aware of their own unworthiness. On the other hand, it is noteworthy that very often people today who are objectively in a state of serious sin seem to be rather blasé about that fact, or they seek to justify themselves or to presume upon God's mercy. In any event, I don't think the saints, in any objective sense, have committed more or greater sins than anyone else, although certainly some saints have been great and even notorious sinners. But rather they have an acute sense of sin because they have a deeper experience of the perfect love and beauty of God, and thus they know that no creature can stand sinless before him. Everything that is good in our lives comes from the grace of God, for God himself is the source of all goodness and truth and love. And any good that we ourselves may do is done in cooperation with his grace, and thus we are able to participate in his goodness. We have a touching portrait of a saint whose life is wholly given over to God in the second reading from Paul's second letter to Timothy. Saint Paul is writing at the end of his life, when he was being held in captivity in Rome, awaiting his execution. He says, "I am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my release is at hand." The Greek word that St. Paul uses for being poured out is splendomai, and it is usually employed in the religious context of a sacrificial drink offering. It reminds us of the words of consecration used in the Eucharistic prayer. "This is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. If we truly pray with all our heart and mind and strength, then our lives too will be poured out like a libation, and united to the saving passion of Christ, we will begin to enter into the eternal love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.